This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The story of Solomon.
The legends of my beauty. I suppose they're true. Oh, yes. I was very young and very beautiful. My hair was black as a raven and fell about my shoulders. And my eyes. Some said they were the eyes of a female leopard. Perhaps they were. But if I was beautiful, beauty was my heritage from the Lord God, and it was He who gave it to me. Oh yes, I knew about the true God, even in the days in which I lived. For they were the days of Solomon, who ruled over Israel. And when I ruled as queen over the country of Saba, after which I was named, although some called it Sheba, it was a long, long time ago. I remember a man who was brought before me, and we spoke together in the dialect of the desert, because he was a foreigner from a far-off country. You're a spy?
A refugee, my lady.
From what country?
Israel.
And Solomon is your king?
Yes, my lady.
I have heard about him. Tell me more.
To tell you of Solomon, my lady, is to tell you of my people.
Then tell me. Amuse me, while I decide whether to let you live or have you slain as a spy. Come, you're still alive. So talk to me.
Once, my lady, we were a people who dwelled in the naked desert. In tents, or in villages, or in settlements. We were scattered across the wilderness. We have been held in slavery and have suffered generations of misery.
But now?
Now we have a new concept. We have a king and a national capital, Jerusalem. A city so beautiful one cannot describe it. And a palace. A royal palace so magnificent that it stands as a temple to the Lord God.
So I have heard.
And now, my lady, the nation of Israel is the greatest power in this world, as great as Egypt ever was. And the daughter of Egypt is the wife of Solomon. We are a race of warriors, and we have defeated all the Arab tribes of the desert, even the Philistines.
But this man, Solomon, tell me about him.
He is the son of David, and is a man of unusual wisdom, and has more gold and treasure than there is in Egypt. And it is claimed the Lord God often appears to him and speaks with him.
You have told me nothing that I have not heard rumored.
Then I have simply confirmed the rumors, my lady.
And you? A refugee, you said. How is that?
Exile would have been as good a word.
But what drove you from your country?
fear for my life.
Oh?
I was misled.
Tell me about it. Who misled you?
The brother of Solomon, Prince Absalom. This was when David was king. Absalom plotted to kill one of his brothers, Amnon. And we who were hired to do the killing were promised immunity from punishment.
Palace intrigue. It always delights me.
We killed Amnon, but there was no immunity from punishment, and we had to flee. I alone survived. The rest were caught and executed. Later, Absalom was killed after a battle with his father David. I was in hiding at the time, and when Absalom was dead, I knew I must get out of the country. As things are, I'm believed dead anyway.
In this country, we have a saying that says, who is thought to be dead is already dead.
My lady, I have no wish to see the truth of that saying made manifest.
No, I will not have you killed. But you can serve me.
Even with my life.
You can guide me to Solomon. But you may leave me before we come in sight of his city.
I will do that, my lady.
My curiosity about Solomon overcame me. I assembled a caravan of horses, men and camels loaded with precious stones, gold and rare spices. I took soldiers and many slaves with me. And after many days' march across the desert, we came to within 5 miles of the city of David. And I let the exile, whose name was Ulic, go, so that I went on alone with my caravan. The splendor of the city of David was like nothing I had ever dreamed of. And I was received by Solomon in a manner befitting my own rank. And at last, I sat in the courtroom of Solomon's palace. And all eyes there were upon us. My Lord Solomon, they say you are a very wise man.
Yes, they say so.
Are you one?
My Lady of Saba, wisdom is the gift of God. No man should take credit for his wisdom. Rather, he should give thanks to God for it.
Another question. Why has your country never invaded mine and conquered it?
My father David conquered only the land which the Lord our God said he should. We have no designs on other lands. We are Israelites, content with Israel.
And I have more questions, my lord.
I will answer them.
Here I am, in the midst of all this splendor, conscious of your wealth and power. Yet I'm thinking of all the poverty I saw on my way here. How does my Lord Solomon reconcile all that poverty with this wealth?
The poor are always with us.
Then you say poverty is a state to which some people must belong?
Into which some must be born.
There is a difference?
The poor man is not necessarily condemned to poverty. He can rise out of it. But from the poor, we learn about patience, generosity. From their faith in God, we learn humility.
Are you a humble man, my Lord Solomon?
Before God, I must be. But the head of a nation cannot be humble before his people.
For a time, I became his guest at the palace. And he showed me wondrous things, things which he had built to the glory of God. And I marveled at the gardens when the moonlight illuminated them. Your wife watched us come out here.
The remark indicates that you are a woman who thinks of me as a man, rather than your being a queen who visits a neighboring ruler. Then I'm right.
My lord could not be wrong. Your wife is not of this country.
She is the king of Egypt's daughter.
She is very beautiful. Even now, when she is no longer as young as she was. What a shame her youth had to pass, my lord.
Here, sit down here and talk to me.
A question?
You have more?
Oh, yes. Is it true the Israelites are God's chosen people?
There is no question.
None?
None.
Why is that? And why are you a chosen people?
Because God spoke with our prophets, with my father David, and even with me.
And the things God spoke about?
And there were many things. But the promise of the Messiah is the most important.
Ah, yes. I have heard something about that since I came here. Who is he?
He is not yet born.
But he will be.
Without any doubt.
But who will he be? What will he be?
Well, the prophecies about him have always been renewed at times when our people were in distress or in bondage. And so the Messiah is, well, he's seen as someone who will be born among us and rise up to free us forever from any form of slavery.
And when will he be born?
When? Well, if events follow the pattern of the prophecies, he won't be born in my time. We are not held in bondage these days. Only one thing is certain. He will be born of my line, which is the line of David, my father. This much the Lord God has promised us.
But you imply your people will not always be as powerful as they are now.
I cannot foretell that. One generation cannot be the spokesman for the generations to come. But one other thing is certain. No nation remains eternally powerful. Nations and peoples rise up and fall. I think that only a people that remains dedicated to God can long survive as a power.
And your people? They seem devoted to God.
They are.
Then you will survive.
As a people. God, for reasons of his own, may sometimes strip us of our power, but he will not forsake us. So long as we keep our faith in him.
We had many talks, and Solomon's wisdom satisfied me. Yet there were things about him I did not understand until much later. But always in our talks, the conversation would drift back to the subject of the promised Messiah.
And now you have seen all there is to be seen.
Will there ever be such a temple built as the one you have built, I wonder?
I built it, but the Lord God designed it. Someday he may design another.
If you are the anointed of God, and you have built such a temple as this, what manner of temple will someone build to glorify the Messiah when he's born?
You and I will not see that day, and still it will come. And still another temple may be built to honor and glorify him. The one who will someday be born.
And soon afterwards I left the city of David, and the gifts that Solomon gave me were precious, for he also gave me of himself. And when I went away, his wife, the daughter of the king of Egypt, rejoiced because I was gone. And many years passed, and I never saw him again. And in those years, many changes took place, and the wife of Solomon lived in misery.
Have done with me, my lord.
You bother me. Go away.
Then do away with me. Old man, I am talking to you.
Be gone, woman.
Don't you like to be told you've grown old? We all grow old, my lord, if we live long enough. Even you.
Get out of my sight.
Old man, I want to talk to you about your soul.
Say your piece and then leave me.
How long since the woman was here?
What woman? Hundreds have been here.
You know the one I mean.
She was a beautiful woman, wasn't she?
She left her mark on you.
By the gods, she was beautiful.
By the gods, yes. By the pagan gods you now worship. My lord, what has come over you ever since that woman was here? You was after she came here that you started to change.
She never came back, did she?
And has the memory of her blinded you? Is that what it is? Is that it?
You weary me.
No. You are weary because you are old.
Be quiet.
My lord, this woman cast a spell over you. And all this time you have been running in all directions trying to forget her. The pagan gods you have turned to, the women of the outcast tribe.
Hold your tongue.
My lord, I have no feelings left. I don't care about the palace concubines, but I fear for you when you go to the women of Moab in such places. Have you forgotten these women are outcasts, forbidden by the Lord God to the men of Israel? And you defy God and go to them.
A man seeks his pleasures.
Oh, my lord. My lord, do you remember when you married me? I worshipped the gods of Egypt, and you took me out of Egypt and taught me about the one God. And ever since then, I have worshipped him. And now you, the anointed of God, who built a beautiful temple to his glory, have turned from him, and you worship false pagan gods. And worse, you have even built temples to these gods. Have you no fear of God's punishment?
Have you said your piece?
Except for one. Is all this because of that woman?
Am I a coward that I should blame someone else for what I am? No, it is not because of her. It's because of myself. We're all made up of two parts. One part evil, one part good. We have a choice of which part to nourish. We cannot blame others for the choice we make. Now leave me.
And the Lord was angry with Solomon and spoke to him, warning him of what was to come. And Solomon's dreams were haunted, and he could not sleep.
Oh, Lord God, who gave me so much wisdom, who set me up in high places, who has made me the greatest king of earth, have mercy on my weakness.
And the Lord was merciful to Solomon, and promised that the things that would come about would not happen while Solomon lived. Yet they would happen.
Tell my sons, all of them, my servants, to gather before me.
My lord, there is a man in the palace who begs audience with you. His name is Ulik, and he is one who helped to slay your brother Amnon. He was hired by Absalom.
Tell my sons to come before me. We'll see this man later.
Your sons are here, my lord, and they listen to you.
Behold your father, my sons. No man was ever given more wisdom. And still, I am my father's son. And like my father David, I find that my age brings certain weaknesses. And I have surrendered to these weaknesses. I've sinned against the Lord God. And he will punish Israel because of it. But not in my time. He has had mercy on me because he loved my father, David. But the nation of Israel will not long be as you have known it. And what will happen to it is not alone for what I have done against the Lord. Our leaders are filled with vanity and jealousies. The Lord is angry with them, too. And so after I'm gone from you, this nation will be divided into 10 tribes, each with its own ruler. And the nation of Israel will be no more. And until we have repented of our ways, there will be no nation of Israel. Our people will be scattered. But the Lord God will not forsake us if we keep his commandments and nourish our faith even in the face of whatever misery may come to us. Now go to the temple I built, to glorify his name and kneel before him.
And there came before Solomon the man whose name was Ulik, and he was the one who had escaped after killing Absalom's brother, Amnon.
My lord Solomon, do with me as you may wish.
You are weary of life that you come before me?
Weary of being away from my own people, and I would die among them if I must die.
I am told you have other reasons.
My lord, I have 1,000 men who follow me. We are desert raiders and prey upon caravans. But I have never attacked one of your caravans, my lord.
And still you did not come here to confess these crimes.
I came to serve you, my lord, bringing 1,000 men who will stay with me in your service.
You think I have need of this army?
My lord, the king of Damascus, who hates you with the hatred of blood, is building an army against Israel. And many of the Bedouin tribes are talking of revolt against Israel. The wilderness and the desert and the mountains are in ferment against you, my lord.
Then it is better you die in battle in the service of Israel than be slain by my hand for what you did years ago.
I kiss the hem of your robe, my lord.
And this was the way it was. The skies became black over the mountains beyond the desert, and there were many armies gathered around Israel. But while Solomon lived, the enemies of Israel did not prevail, for God was with Israel, and what was to come would come later.
Are you well, my lord?
I have repented before the Lord.
Do I disturb you?
I was thinking, wondering in which generation of my line he will come into the world. What he will be like.
The Messiah?
A noble prince who will lead our people back to a glory they may have forgotten about by that time. A warrior prince who will carry a spear of gold.
Who can tell what he will be like, my lord, if even you with your wisdom cannot?
Our people see him as a great prince who will rule over them with a glory greater than has been mine. But he may be as a prophet who will want to lead us to the kingdom of God. How can we know? Only one thing I can say of the future, since the future is not yet born. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. For the Lord knows what is in your secret heart and will judge it.
And these were the last words uttered by Solomon, and he was buried with his father David. And in the days that followed, the nation of Israel was divided into 10 tribes who were scattered across the land. But the Lord did not forsake them, and he kept his promise. For in a certain generation, the Messiah was born to the line of David and Solomon, and he was called the Savior, and was God's son, who is God himself.